Let's continue in prayer. Lord God, we thank you that we can gather together in your name and in your presence. But I know not all of us come with joy and excitement in our hearts. Some may come weary and tired. Some may come anxious. Whatever it is we come with, Lord, we ask that you would meet us in this place and just replace it with your joy, with your spirit, that you would speak to us, that you would renew us here, and that we may leave here reminded of what an awesome God you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's one of those things that most people don't like. Hate is a strong word, but I'll admit I really quite dislike it. I think most people would agree that they dislike or don't like waiting. Yet that's what the disciples are actually doing in this passage. Jesus had told the disciples to wait. Oh, thank you, Bernard. Jesus had told the disciples to wait, and for once, they actually listen and are actually doing what they had been told. Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." So that's what they're actually doing. Waiting together, not individually, not scattered, not off on their own in little groups, but together as a whole in one place. They probably wanted to be out there telling the people that Jesus was alive. I mean, they saw Jesus. They saw the resurrected Jesus with their own eyes. What else did they need to share the good news? They saw Jesus brought back from the dead. Why would they not want to be out there telling people about it? Yet Jesus had told them to wait. So here they were waiting, holed up in a house, the whole lot of them. They didn't know how long they'd have to wait or what exactly would happen, but they knew this is what Jesus told them to do. And so they're obeying. For a group that disobeyed Jesus so much, it's amazing that they actually obey. But here they are obeying and waiting. I wonder if they understood why Jesus told them to wait. And I wonder if that was why they were waiting, because they knew what was to come, or if they, without understanding, just simply obeyed Jesus. We may not know this side of heaven, but what we do know is they waited. Waiting at the best of times isn't easy. Waiting upon God's time can often seem excruciating. We live in a society where everything is instant. You want something? Turn to Google. Turn to Wikipedia. We don't have to go to the library and look it up in encyclopedias anymore. We just pick up our phones and look. We want to know the sports scores. Go to TSN. Go to Sportsnet. I don't really use Siri, but lately on my drive home, I found Siri quite useful for one thing. Siri, what's the score of the basketball game? Siri, what's the score in the Stanley Cup final? I can't even wait to get home to find out the score, so I start talking to my phone on the drive home because I want to find out. It's so easy to get things in an instant nowadays that we've become accustomed to it. We want things now. We don't like waiting. We change lanes every 5 seconds to get two cars ahead of where we were. We try to figure out which line in the grocery store is going to move faster, or especially at Costco, which line is going to go faster, and I'm going to go that one. We can't wait. We want to move. We get upset when fast food takes more than a few minutes. How many times have you heard, and they call this fast food? We're a society that wants everything instantly. Instant information, instant gratification, instant everything. And people get upset if you don't respond to them right away. We made cell phones so we can reach each other at any time, all the time. Microwaves are for instant meals. Most of technology is geared to give us stuff right away because we don't like waiting. We don't want to wait. Most of us don't like waiting even when it comes to day-to-day stuff. And I know that most of us like waiting even less when it's waiting on God's time. Most people would rather have God tell us, "Yes, this is what I want." Or, "No, this is what I want." rather than God usually giving us the wait, hold on, that we usually get. It's hard for us to wait, and I'm pretty sure it was hard for the disciples to wait. Remember, most of them had seen the resurrected Jesus with their very own eyes at this point. And if they didn't see it with their own eyes, if they didn't see Jesus with their own eyes, they would have heard firsthand accounts from people who had seen Jesus with their own eyes telling them that Jesus was resurrected and alive. With that kind of news, with that kind of motivation, you'd think they'd want to go out and tell people. You'd think that they would want to be out there doing something. But instead, in Acts chapter 2, we find them waiting in a house, waiting as Jesus had commanded them. I can't imagine how hard it must have been for them to wait, especially with the good news that they had to share. I remember when Kristen was born. It's okay, I can tell this because Kate's not here. I was so excited to tell our families that Kristen was born that I took a picture. As soon as she was born, the doctor put her on Kate's chest, and I took a picture of Kristen and Kate, and I sent it out to the families. And I'm like, proud dad, wife's healthy, baby's born and healthy and cute. I made sure nothing was visible, but I sent the picture. But the picture went out with Kristen and Kate, and I thought everything was good. Family knows, great, we can celebrate. We've got a good, healthy baby. It wasn't until a little bit later Kate saw the picture, and she got mad at me. Remember, she'd just given birth, probably about 18 hours of labor. She's exhausted in a hospital gown, hair like sweat coming down, hair all over the place. And she got mad at me because she looked horrible in the picture. I thought she looked beautiful. She's healthy. Our first child is healthy, looks beautiful. I'm like, what are you talking about? This looks great. I want to tell everyone we've got our first child is healthy and we've got a baby. Not from her perspective. I can imagine how hard it must have been for the disciples to hide out and wait rather than going and doing something. They know that Jesus is alive. They know that he is resurrected. He's conquered death and he is alive. Who would not want to be out there doing something? Yet they wait as Jesus tells them to do. And what happens is well worth their wait. It would have been easy for the disciples to not wait, to jump the gun, so to say, and go out. Let's face it, they weren't the most obedient bunch. This is a bunch who kept failing Jesus time and time again. So if Jesus had said to them, you wait, and they had ignored it and gone out, we probably wouldn't be that surprised. We don't expect much from the disciples. And honestly, who could blame them? They've seen Jesus alive. Who could blame them for going out and telling people? They knew he's alive. Why wouldn't they want to go out? They saw him ascend into heaven. Why wouldn't they want to go and tell people? Their teacher, their master, the one they had been following, some of them for 3 years, the one that they thought was going to save the world, is now alive after having been nailed to a cross. I'm sure some of them were probably thinking, yes, I've been vindicated. I knew there was something special about this guy, and now that he's alive, I'm going to go rub it into the faces of all the people who made fun of me and say, don't follow some homeless-looking guy from Jerusalem. Don't do it. Go follow somebody better. I can imagine they would want, if not to go and tell people that Jesus was alive, to at least go and say, I told you so. Because this is the one they had been following when all of the people were telling them, don't follow him. So I imagine it must have been pretty hard for them to wait. To wait and not go out and tell everyone. To not tell people what they had experienced. To not rub it in the faces of those who had called them names. Yet for once, they obey. They obey Jesus and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And it's a good thing they did. Verse 2 and 3 tells us, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. As they wait, the Holy Spirit comes down upon them and something crazy by our standards, happens. As the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they start speaking in other tongues, in languages, different languages that they don't know. Not because all of a sudden they know it, but because the Holy Spirit has come upon them and the Spirit is working through them. Obviously, it's not them talking because they never learned these languages. They're speaking it because the Holy Spirit is speaking it through them. And the people who are nearby are hearing this. They're hearing these people speaking not the language that they should know, not the language that they've heard them speak, but speaking in the language that the people who are listening know as their own language. And it amazes them and probably confuses them. The people who heard them could understand what the disciples were actually saying because they were saying it in their native tongues. But they couldn't understand how these people could be speaking in their own languages. It didn't make sense. And because of this, a large crowd starts to gather around them. The people who were there heard them, and they're confused, amazed, intrigued, curious, who knows? They can't understand how these men from Galilee could speak their own language. And so they gather around wanting to find out. Yet they're intrigued by what they heard. Because when the Spirit came upon them, the disciples, the first thing they did was worship. Verse 11 tells us that the disciples were declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. That is what worship is. It's declaring what an awesome and an amazing God God is. And the fact that the disciples were declaring the wonders of God in their own tongue drew the people in, and it amazes them. It perplexes them. And it has them wondering, what does this mean? How is it that these people are speaking in languages that they shouldn't know, languages that we know? And why is it that as they're speaking in languages they don't know, they're declaring the wonders of God? Of all the things that they could talk about, why are they declaring the wonders of God? And they're asking, what does this mean? This is traditionally held to be the beginning of the Christian church. The church started when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. Up until this time, the disciples had followed Jesus, but they weren't considered the church. And when the Spirit comes upon them, this is seen as the beginning of the church. For all that has happened, it's not until the Holy Spirit comes upon them that the disciples become the church. And when the church begins, the first thing the church does is worship God. And it's not until the Holy Spirit came down upon them that their lives were really changed. Not only were they speaking in tongues and languages that they did not know, but even Peter, the guy who cowered away when slaves asked him if he was a follower of Jesus, is now the guy standing up in front of a crowd of thousands bearing witness to Jesus. The guy who was too afraid to admit to a few slaves that he followed Jesus was now standing before a crowd of thousands telling them all about Jesus. At this point, you couldn't keep Peter quiet if you tried, because he wasn't moving by his own strength. He was now moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's moving in God's timing. I think things would have been very different. If the disciples had rushed out and not waited, I think things would have been very different. If they had, as soon as they saw Jesus ascend to heaven, if they had just gone out to share the good news and not listened to Jesus, I think things would have been very different. Because they would have been going out by their own power and their own will. They would have been going because they were excited about what they saw and they wanted others to know. I don't think in and of itself this is a bad thing. But waiting was a much better thing. Because had they just gone out on their own, by their own power and strength, they would have been relying upon themselves. Instead of trusting in God and relying on God, if they went out right away, they would have been relying upon themselves. And when we rely on ourselves, that's when we run into problems. As excited as we might be at the beginning, When we go out and try to do things by our own strength, that enthusiasm wears off. We get exhausted. We get frustrated. We burn out. When we go out in our own strength, in the beginning, we may be excited and super passionate. But then when people don't respond the way we want them to, that enthusiasm starts to die. And as soon as people start responding well, that enthusiasm dips and the frustration sinks in. The disappointment starts to eat at us. And we burn out because things aren't going the way we wanted, because we're doing it by our own strength. We see this all the time. People start a project, maybe an outreach, maybe something within the church. And when they start, they're super excited. They want to do it. But because it's run on human power, over time, people get frustrated. They get discouraged. They burn out, and they don't want to do it. And then they don't want to do anything else because they're so exhausted and tired. And it becomes not that the project or whatever, the venture failed or didn't work. It becomes, I'm a failure. I screwed up because we're doing it on our own strength. So after starting something with so much enthusiasm, it becomes extremely difficult to get them to do something else because they're hurt and disappointed by the way things went. But when we rely on the Spirit to work and when we trust in God's timing, that's when we realize it's not about us. That's when we realize it's really about God and God's work. And God's just giving us the privilege of joining him in that work. When we rely on God, even if things don't go quite like we had wanted or expected, we trust that God is working and doing something. And even though we may not know what it is or why it's going like this, we don't get as discouraged because it's God who is at work, not me. When I think about this, one of the things that comes to mind is when I first really met and fell in love with Christ. I had come back from a conference the summer before I went to university. My whole church went, and we came, or the young adult group, we didn't have enough people split between like youth and young adults, so it was kind of like a one big group. We went, and we came back, and most of us had met Christ at this conference, and we came back so excited. We wanted to teach the rest of the church the songs that we had met. I know this is going to make me sound old for you young people. This was back when churches did not really do praise and worship songs. They sang out of hymnals. And so when we came back, we had learned all these praise and worship songs, and so we wanted to teach our church these songs. But nobody wanted to get up and lead. Everyone's like, oh, no, I can't. Remember, this is a Korean church. Everybody plays piano. But they're like, no, we can't do it. I don't want to do it. But I was so on fire for God. I was so excited and passionate. I'm like, I'll do it. So I grabbed my guitar and I went up. And it was like those American Idol video moments, like when they audition. You're like, the really bad people, you're like, do these people not realize how bad they actually are? Or do they know how bad they are and they just want to come out and get some coverage? I knew I wasn't the best singer. I know my rhythm is very bad, but I didn't realize how bad I was until I was up front trying to teach a song to people, to the rest of the church, and they're all looking at me like confused. And I didn't know entirely why they were so confused until afterwards I found out my rhythm was off, I was off, my singing was off, everything was off. I had done this because I was so excited for God that I wanted to go out and do it on my own power. But when people responded with, it hurt and discouraged me so much that I don't play guitar or sing in front of people. Like, unless there's like a whole bunch of people who can drown out my singing, I don't do it. Because I was trying to do this by my own power. I was doing this because I wanted to. And I feel like if the disciples had gone out right away, they would have gone out and they may have told a few people. They may have been excited and told a few people, but they wouldn't have gathered the crowds of thousands that had gathered this day because they waited for the Holy Spirit. Because they waited for the Spirit, it was so much different than they could have hoped for or expected. One good thing that came out of me trying to sing was people in church realized, oh, if we don't step up, I think he might keep stepping up, so we better step up. So praise team, if you're absolutely that desperate and really need volunteers, then I may be willing to be like your recruitment tool. When people hear how bad I am, they'll be like, okay, we'll do it. But when we try to do things by our own power and our own ability, when things don't go well, that's when we get discouraged. That's when we get disheartened. That's when we feel like failures. But when we wait on God's time, we realize this isn't about me. When people reject us because we're sharing the gospel through the Spirit, that's when we realize they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Jesus. In some ways, that's harder, but in other ways, it enables us to continue because we don't take it. It doesn't hurt us the way it would if they were rejecting us. The other thing that happens when we try to do things by our own power is there's only so much we can do. We can give ourselves pep talks, we can try to psych ourselves up, but there's only so much we can do because we're still limited because we're human, sinful humans at that. But when we trust in God to work and in God's timing, God can and does things that are so much greater than we expect. I think that had the disciples gone out in their excitement, they may have had courage to share the gospel to a few people, small crowds. There may have been some people who came to know Jesus because they went out sharing the gospel. But because they waited, when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, not only did Peter have the courage to stand up in front of this huge crowd, but there was a huge crowd in the first place. People gathered together because they heard these men from Galilee speaking in languages they shouldn't have known. And it piqued the curiosity of the crowd to gather together. So all of a sudden, instead of having a few people follow, few people that Peter would have been talking to, there's a crowd of thousands gathered together that Peter can now talk to. And the Spirit works in the hearts of that crowd, so that as verse 41 says, about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior that day. Not because Peter was eloquent in his speech, not because Peter said all the right things and hit all the right buttons with these people, but because the Holy Spirit was working in the hearts of these people. The Holy Spirit brought all of these people together and was working in the hearts of these people that when Peter got up, he probably could have not said much at all, and these people would have still come to Christ because the Spirit was working in them. When we rely on ourselves, there's only so much we can do. But when we rely on Christ, there's no end to what Christ can do in us and through us. But in order for that to happen, we have to trust in Him. We have to trust in His time. And sometimes that means waiting for Him. I know it's not easy for us to wait. I know it's not easy for us to wait for God, especially. Especially when we're praying for something and there doesn't seem to be an answer. But I want to encourage you that waiting for God, waiting on God is worth the wait. It might not seem like it at the time, but it is, because God's ways and God's time are so much better than our ways or our time. And maybe God's calling you right now to wait. Maybe you've been praying about what's next in your life, and He's been making you wait. Or maybe you've been praying about how you can serve God, whether it's here or abroad. Yet you have to wait until you can do it. Or maybe you've been praying for someone in your life. Someone who's sick. Someone who's not well. Someone who doesn't know Jesus yet. And it seems like God's just making you wait. Or maybe you've been praying for someone to come into your life. Boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse. And it feels like you've been praying about this forever. And maybe you're getting antsy waiting. I want to encourage you, take heart and stay strong. Be encouraged, because God is definitely worth waiting for. God's timing is definitely worth waiting for. As difficult as it is, His timing is so much better than our timing. His ways are so much better than our ways. And He is definitely worth waiting for. As difficult as it is at times, His ways, His timing is so worth the wait. If you're in that place right now where you feel like you're waiting and you're going crazy, ask for patience. Pray for patience. Because God's ways and His times are so much better than our ways or our times. Let's pray. Lord, I know how much I dislike waiting. And I know how hard it is for me to wait. And I imagine a lot of us here are in similar boats, that we don't like waiting. Yet so often you tell us to wait. So often you don't give us an answer right away. You don't say yes or no, but you make us wait. And I know how difficult that can be. So Lord, for those who are struggling with waiting right now, would you give more of yourself so that they would know your peace in this time of waiting? For those who have been trying on their own to do stuff, would you give them more of you that they would be renewed and refreshed? For those who think that our ways and our time is much better than your ways and your time, would you humble us? Would you humble us and remind us that your ways are the best ways? Your time is the best time, even though we may not think it at the moment, even though we may not feel it, even when we don't know why. Would you remind us that your ways and your time truly are the best ways? The best timing, and that waiting for you is so totally worth it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.